Simpson Thatcher, publicly available courtesy of the leaked emails of Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. The review discovered that high-dollar donors to the foundation may have an expectation of quid pro quo benefits in return for gifts, and that the charity ignored conflict of interest guidelines. There is also the stunning change in the fortunes of the Clinton Foundation following her loss in the 2016 election. While the Clintons now had more time than ever to raise money from foreign and domestic sources for their foundation, donations plummeted dramatically. Hillary Clinton's first year as Secretary of State coincided with the foundation raising $249 million. In 2017, the year after her loss, it managed to raise only $38.4 million. Anyone who does not see the connection between the Clintons' official government power and their ability to raise money overseas is clearly not paying attention. Then, of course, there was the moving of her entire email communication system onto a private server to avoid compliance with the Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, and other federal laws. As the old saying goes, if you cannot trust someone with a little power, you had better not trust them with a lot. With the Clintons, there were early warning signs that often went unheeded. Today, the Clintons are part of American political history, but others are emerging to take their place in the progressive pantheon with their own nascent models of corruption. The challenge now is bringing the latest warning signs to light and taking them seriously. Arguably, the greatest American political novel, Robert Penn Warren's All the King's Men, is set in the Depression-era Deep South. It tells the story of Jack Burden, the scion of a wealthy and influential family with a penchant for history, who becomes the right-hand man to Governor Willie Stark, a charismatic populist. Stark grew up hard-scrabble poor and rides into office promising to be a reformer that will make everything right. But he's also a corrupt blackmailer who leverages his power for his own personal ends. Burden refers to Stark as the boss, an allusion to the fact that Stark has built his political empire through cronyism, corruption, patronage, and intimidation. The boss wants Burden to investigate one of his fiercest critics, Judge Irwin. The boss wants dirt on the judge, and he expects Burden to make it stick. The problem? Venerable Judge Irwin is a father figure to Burden. They were very close during his childhood, and Burden is confident that there is no dirt to be found. The boss disagrees. Man is conceived in sin and born in corruption, and he passeth from the stink of the Dighty to the stench of the shroud. There is always something. Burden does what Stark asks and starts to dig into Judge Irwin's finances. Much to his profound disappointment, he discovers that the boss is correct. His old family friend is corrupt. He took a bribe. Burden also learns that Judge Irwin is actually his father. Burden traces the serpentine flow of corporate money to the judge himself, observing what he calls the flower in the crannied wall theory. So I plucked the flower out of its cranny and discovered an astonishing botanical fact. I discovered that its delicate little root, with many loops and kinks, ran all the way to New York City, where it tapped the lush dung heap called Madison Corporation. The flower in the cranny was the Southern Bell Fuel Company. So I plucked another little flower called the American Electric Power Company and discovered that its delicate little root tapped the same dung heap. The corrupt facts are exposed. Dishonored and distraught, Judge Irwin commits suicide. Warren's analogy, a study in contrast between the attractive flower and its dark roots winding their way in the muck, sustaining the surface beauty, succinctly describes the labyrinthine set of deep relationships enjoyed by some prominent American politicians today. Hidden self and family-enriching relationships lie beneath the charismatic exterior. While few today would follow the outdated pattern of 1930s bribery, current political figures often benefit from financial ties with special interest parties that are hard to trace, obscured behind what seems like a rock wall. Tracing those money roots may take much digging, but understanding the flowers, or politicians, ecosystem within the crannied wall reveals how they use or would use whatever public power is vested in them. Part of the challenge is first identifying the tie between political power and those with whom they leverage their position. These are the roots behind the crannied wall. Jack Burden calls these a relationship in time. Those complex rooted relationships provide the background for how politicians wield power, leverage their position, for their own benefit.